Oh, I have confirmation that the person in said interview was not our friend who was rehired as a freelancer. She did not cry in her interview.
Oh, cry in your interview? Why would you cry in your interview?
It wasn't her.
Your exit interview?
I've got confirmation.
Oh, cry in an exit interview. I thought of onboarding interview. That would be very bad. I'm not going to start asking some testicle questions.
My name is John Boehner. I cry for everything.
I do know someone who cried during a job interview.
No way. Can you tell the story?
Sure. So, I lived in Naperville for a year with four other people. I know. And in a house probably near where you live now, pretty close at least. Lived with a DJ, someone who did something else, a drug dealer, and a DJ, a drug dealer, unemployed auto mechanic, and a hairdresser.
Sounds like a great joke.
They all walk into a bar.
The unemployed auto mechanic was like, I was like 22 at the time, and this guy was like 29 or something, like super old for me at the time, and he lived in the basement and pretty much like never came out, except when he went up to get a rent check from his uncle, who drove like a 77 like Courier or one of those really old school Esquire car. I don't even know what they are. But anyway, like super creepy.
An Esquire?
Esquire?
I don't know like that car.
I don't know.
Is that a car?
It's a lawyer, right?
I'm gonna go.
Esquire?
Yeah, there's something. I'll look it up later.
Escort?
Escort, maybe. No, that's probably not either. But anyway, moral of the story is like he had been talking about getting a job for like as long as we had known him. So about 6 months in, he finally goes to like a Jiffy Lube or something, you know, to go get a real job. And he had been talking himself up as a mechanic the entire time. Like, he went to Germany to like learn how to work on BMWs, and he's like the best mechanic ever. And he goes in for the interview, and apparently how it goes is like the guy told him, okay, so we're hearing this after he got back from the interview. And he said, basically, he didn't get the job because he was overqualified. And, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, I went in there, guy was really super nice. And he just said, you know, man, I can't pay you what you deserve to be paid right now. Like, I can't afford you right now. You're overqualified for the job. So we're going to have to go in a different direction. And then the guy's like, the guy named is Brett, and Brett's like really weird. He wears an ascot and he has like really strange.
He's a mechanic.
He's got like really strange like mannerisms.
Oh, you're overqualified,
and
clearly.
Phrases. Yeah. And he's like, he always says like doggy a lot. He's like, yeah, doggy. So I went in there and talked to the guy. He was really cool. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. When he said I didn't get, you know, I was overqualified, I cried. I'm not going to lie. You know, I shed some tears. But, you know, he's a really super cool guy. And, like, and we talked a lot afterwards. And we're going to hang out. And we're really friends now.
So yeah, we hugged it out.
Yeah, we hugged it out. And we're going to hang out. I can't wait, man.
Are you still in contact
with
this
guy?
We're
going to be such good friends. And, like, he was going on and on about it.
I didn't
like,
get the job, but,
was
I,
that what
but re- I earned
do you
a
think
best
that's
friend.
What's really happened?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Did you ever hear what really happened?
No, no.
Okay.
But, right. Like, I assume that the guy was like, that he had like a mental breakdown in the middle of it, and he just said like whatever he needed to
Dude
say to be
with
friendly
an ascot
to him to get out of here.
Is in my little shithole of an office and crying.
Right.
Thanks very much.
Yeah.
You
Please.
Can go now.
Yeah.
We're going in a different direction.
Way too overqualified.
Sure, we're friends. Yeah, whatever you need to say to get out of here.
I just need this job to pay bills. I'm sure that was probably
I mean, that's exactly what it was. Yeah. He was in his own world. He had a lot of things.
Ascots
going
aren't
on.
Free, man.
A lot of issues.
Ascots aren't free.
But he works on BMWs.
But he works on BMW. I mean, he owned a BMW. Like, so he definitely
so all
work
you
on
BMW owners.
But, yeah, he was...
Do you still know Brett? Do you still hang out with Brett?
In here?
No. You know, when I owned a... No.
Sean may want him on one of his shows.
Yeah. No, you don't want him in there. But he did work on my 2002 Saturn when I had a four-door maroon Saturn that kind of resembled a go-kart.
He like, slummed it. And worked on the Saturn.
He did.
Even though
he did
like
a fine job. Replaced my brake pads. That's my weird story.
That is a bizarre story.
Yeah.
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 All right, I'm done now.
Is he now like trying out for baseball teams? Is this really Tim Tebow?
Honestly, I didn't assume he's dead, and I just hope he's okay.
You assume he's dead? Holy shit!
If you give me the address, I'll do a well-being check.
Yeah,
if you want me to,
if
I'll
you
look
could.
Him up.
That took a very dark turn.
See if he's still around.
He was not doing well.
So we are the Worldwide IT guys. We've sort of started by talking about Brett, who Now I feel bad for him, and I want to find out how he's doing. So please give us an update sometime.
He's in charge of corporate integration at IBM.
He's closing tickets at IBM right now.
He said, I think I'm underqualified. And they said, well, you're still hired.
So once again, we're the Worldwide IT Guys. This is episode 48. And this is like... Because it's episode 48, I'm going to do like the first tease. We may have something special planned for our anniversary show in a few weeks. So keep listening. We're thinking about 52 coming up soon. Deanne's got lots of big ideas, so we'll see what comes of that. I'm Steve.
I'm Deanne.
I'm Brett.
John.
Sean.
Steph.
Dan.
Steph is in room. She's off mic. And Brett over there, otherwise known as Gavin. Thank you very much for being with us today. So we've had a fair amount of activity in the transformation space. There's been a lot of talk recently about this. And I thought I would kick us off on the most awkward piece of this whole puzzle, but it's our theme, so why not? So the question was raised recently by a listener, you know, which IBM did we get?
First, before we... IBM was closed at 161.77 yesterday, and now they're up 162, which is reinforcing my theory that the worse IBM, we perceive IBM to be, the better their stock price does.
The better their stock is doing. Exactly.
Just shows exactly. You how dumb the market is.
And so, fine, if they're doing really, really well, the question is, there's this, they outsource, we outsource to them, and they promptly outsource to others, right? So we seem to have gotten the worst of IBM because they're putting all of their investment into what? Things like Watson.
Supercomputers.
Yeah.
Things like Watson.
Teleportation. Yeah. But hold on. Is that really, like, what amount of their, like, R&D and whatever, what amount of their budget is actually going to something like Watson? Because I see Watson as something as more of, like, a marketing kind of thing. Like, something that...
Well, I've heard the opposite, actually.
Really?
I've heard a lot of people at IBM are betting the company on Watson and AI.
Really? I can see AI.
No, and I've heard it gets a great deal of attention. Mm-hmm. I think what is hilarious, even if it's just at a PR level, that because these major breakthroughs that they make get such attention, like Watson, you know, we talked once on the podcast how the guy who developed teleportation was at IBM.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just funny. You see what minds work at this company.
I'm sorry, is that what we talked about?
We talked about when there was a guy who invented teleportation. He's an IBM fellow.
Yes.
And Dion and I always joke we want to invite him to our meetings.
Yeah, every time we have a PowerShell question, we're like, listen, could you just get the guy who's working on teleportation
Watson?
He transmitted
he's
data.
This question.
Between two physically separated neutrons. He sent a payload.
Yeah.
Basically, he teleported a payload of information. He used quantum entanglement to transfer information.
Information, yes.
At an IBM level.
Fair enough. Nothing physical.
No, but he said the data actually, at the end of the day, was physical. And he said it essentially is...
That's like Donald Trump saying, no, people are saying that.
People are saying.
Many people are saying I teleported.
And we're at 163. Teleport data information means you can teleport in the future when you can produce an organic material, a human.
That was his claim was that technically, it's like physicists, and we're getting off on a tangent here, but physicists are very interesting.
Wait, group is getting off on a tangent? Sorry.
A lot, like Stephen Hawking always says this too, supposedly, that like we're just information, like the universe is entropy and information, and that physical state, if you can transfer information,
you can transfer
in
physical.
In theory, you can transfer a physical being by transferring information.
Sure.
But it's just funny to me, you see these news stories, you're like, oh my God, that's the future. And then, you know, we had a guy here who's waiting 3 weeks to get
a password
reset.
Yeah, a password reset from the same fucking organization.
Yeah, you know, so it's just amazing, you know. Like, I'll say this, like, when you fly airlines, like, you get, like, you know, when you fly Spirit, which fucking sucks, you get terrible service. It's not like Spirit is out there breaking the sound barrier on a different wing of the company. They suck from top to bottom, and you know what you're getting into. You're like, I got to fly cheap, and I got the face of the company is consistent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same with, like, if you fly, like, British Airways. It's going to be first class all the way. You know what I mean? Well, maybe not British Airways, but certain other...
You don't travel
somewhere.
A lot, do
no.
you?
Yeah, I've never actually flown a fancy airline, so I don't know what they're like.
Yeah. Airlines, quantum physics, yeah. I wing it.
Yeah. But EA is known for, you know, blocking and tackling. They are very good at the basics. They do the basics well. Yes, they have a first class, but that's not like the...
But they have a British accent when they tell you to fuck off. Yeah. I love it.
But it's just IBM has these, and they make the face of their company the Watson teleportation wing. You know, they're always like, oh, we can do anything. You know, you know, we do outsourcing for all the world's most complex companies.
Well, this was the headline that sort of raised this, was IBM's Watson gives proper diagnosis for a Japanese leukemia patient after doctors have been stumped for months. And this is that whole thing, right?
Yeah.
They're spinning it. They're properly... getting in the press as this is technology and what technology can truly do. So it is this right-hand, left-hand thing that we have going on. And we're in the wrong hands.
Yeah, it's,
we're
it's like,
they
we
gave
can save
Watson,
your life, but we can't change your password.
They gave Watson $1 billion cash. Like go spend $1 billion to make Watson Watson.
Yeah.
And promote it and sell it and invest in it and do everything you need to do. $1 billion from IBM said, make Watson.
Maybe
great.
Watson just doesn't have the street smarts to reset passwords. Is that the issue? They got to make Watson more capable of doing the dumb shit. It's it can
Watson's
diagnose cancer.
Watson's probably a part of the study where it says, the more you reset your password, the less secure it is. That's probably what Watson's on. Like, just leave it alone. Don't even change your password.
Watson's overqualified for this job.
Leave it alone. It's a segue.
It's totally overqualified.
It's a beautiful segue.
It's
brilliant.
Yeah, that totally comes back to that article that was recently shared amongst this group, that changing passwords perhaps is not the best idea in the world.
Yeah.
So, Sean, I think you shared that originally.
Well, and there's been a lot of studies on this, that corporate IT policies actually make us less secure.
Yeah. The fact that you have to change your password every 60 days is a bad idea. And the fact that parent company doesn't even do it but forces us to do it is like a sign of, why are we doing this?
It's such a hilarious con to me. I'm guessing it's because it's U.S. and SOX. It always seems to be SOX in the U.S., and we're getting...
SOX
this is a
dead.
Little inside it's, pitching here for our listeners, but they probably all know about SOX. But to me, it's always hilarious, because you're always like... my history in IT has always been like, why are we doing this? This doesn't make us any
it's
more secure.
It's all my fault, actually.
But somebody always goes, SOX, SOX, our auditor... said
and
we
what
had
does
to do
SOX
that.
Stand for? Do you even
Sarbanes-Oxley,
know?
Which was post
Sarbanes-Oxley. Yep.
And he was a senator.
Which is post Enron legislation.
Two senators.
Two senators.
And it's just hilarious. But what's hilarious about it is it just seems like a Ponzi scheme for consulting companies to charge you more. Because it's so ambiguous that you're always like, I'm not reading it that way. And what you're proposing doesn't seem to be. He's like, well, you might fail an audit.
It's
you
just
might fail
the legal,
an audit.
It's the legal way out of if anything ever happens because of a security thing. It's all it is. It protects you from ever being sued because
you
didn't
do what
you were
supposed to do. But what's hilarious is it protects you from that accusation, but it doesn't actually protect the IT resources.
No.
Yeah, so that's
the
what's hilarious to
for,
me. Yeah.
For SOX protect you from the lawyers who are going to sue you.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
And,
the
and at the end of the line, both sets of lawyers say, and if it wasn't for John,
exactly.
We wouldn't have to do this bullshit.
I worked at Arthur Anderson. I brought that company to... I burned it down.
You burned that shit to the ground.
I'm personally responsible.
I'm personally responsible.
But it's just... It's every company I've ever been in, I'm like, it doesn't make us more secure. And they'll always be like, well, the SOX auditor... suggest this. I'm like, well, what the fuck do you think a SOX auditor is going to suggest? If you go to a plumber, he's going to suggest you need a new sink. I mean,
every
time. A SOX auditor is going to suggest you do something that requires more overhead by him. Like,
you wrote a rule. It doesn't really follow through. I recommend you do this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
Fair play. So, if we don't need to change our passwords on a regular basis, if... it all comes back to the fact that Watson can't change our passwords for us. Why don't we start a campaign? So all of you wonderful Worldwide IT Guys listeners out there, we're starting a campaign.
Okay.
Every time you call the service desk, just ask Watson.
Ask for Watson. I want to talk to Watson.
What would Watson do?
So literally, I need my password reset. Can you ask Watson to reset my password? Thank you very much. I know you cannot help me right now. Just ask Watson to reset my password. I need a new DNS entry. Ask Watson to give me a new DNS entry, please, because Watson clearly can do it. You cannot. Just get it done.
Now, that's like where things could get interesting. Like, if they're managing all these servers and they see, like, similar... Like, if they were to look at, like, support request ticket patterns and to predict, like, if you ask for a new server, within 2 weeks they're going to ask for a new DNS entry or something like that. Like, that would be an interesting use of Watson and, like, that type of intelligent computing.
Yeah. Let them look at the service desk
or
data.
Or Clicky.
Or what?
Or what was that Microsoft icon thing?
Clippy.
You mean LA Clippers?
I see you're trying to request a DNS entry. Maybe I can help.
I see you're complaining about stomach pains, and your doctors haven't helped. Maybe I can help.
There's this old dog in the corner scratching.
Great. Now we're going to... So change that, ask Clippy.
I don't know how far we want to go down this, but this is something that I've always wondered about. Like, so I think AI will eventually happen.
Yeah.
And I have a prediction that eventually there will be this app that people will turn on that listens to everything you say, and it's going to give you social advice for, like, how to be a better person and everything.
I love that.
And you're going to hear something like, you're talking about yourself a lot. Yeah. Like, you're interrupting people, you know. And I wonder, I feel like we're eventually going to listen to AI on how to behave. Because, like, enough people will do it, they'll be like, oh, I found my life, I was so much happier, I was listening to my phone, and it was warning me that I was doing things, you know, like, that next drink will cause a hangover, you know what I mean? And,
but isn't that your wife? Honestly, I mean, your wife is going to get jealous. Remember, all of our wives are going to get jealous.
Remember you asked me to tell you when you're being rude and insensitive? You're doing it now.
You're being an asshole.
I notice you're being an asshole.
Thank you, Siri.
Yeah. Well, no, that's interesting because, like, think about things like if you can't interpret social cues very well, like, what if someone was able to translate?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
So we're going to solve the dysfunction of the world? Is that?
But hold on. I did look up, like, IBM's gross revenue versus what they expect to be earning off of Watson. Like, they think they might get to, like, $1 billion, and they get, like, what? They generate, like, I'm looking at a few different numbers, maybe 20 to 40 or $80 million in revenue a year. So I feel like AI is amazing, and it's definitely going to be there, but I don't think it's, like, a huge part of their business.
Don't
yet.
Think they incorporate the Jeopardy $30,000 every time Watson wins.
Exactly.
That's
so,
a good point.
I mean, that's pretty huge. Yeah.
You carry that one. That's
you carry
go.
The one and 30,000. I mean,
I you invest that wisely. Yeah.
You were going to talk about which IBM are we getting, and I got it.
We're not getting the Watson one.
I think we clearly answered the question.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to bring up the some of the articles we shared.
Oh.
Or is that too much?
So
that's where you were going.
There may be some history out there for people who, like, mine the web of organizations that have done what we've done and outsourced, and there are some fairly disgruntled people, it seems. Mm-hmm. Fairly unhappy people. And we're hoping that all of them become listeners real soon.
Yeah, do you own that domain?
There was a quote that I think you pulled out of it. Do you want to share that quote?
Which quote? I got a lot of quotes. Some I can say on this pod, some I can't.
What was the quote? Right, well, now I got to go. All right, so talk amongst yourselves, because you queued me up and I weren't.
How about that Phelps, huh?
How about Phelps' face?
Phelps' face, yes, there you go.
Are we going to go to Olympics? All right, before we do that, I think this is where it was. A separate study, and this is a quote. This is not coming from the Worldwide IT guys, but it's clearly coming from the disaffected in that world. So what did it say? So I'm coming from this organization, and we are about to get the chop. Oh, did I forget to mention? That's a secret. As our work queues are now being outsourced to Bangalore, back in the 80s when I used to work for IBM, they were the company to work for. Now they seem hell-bent on self-destruction in the relentless drive for short-term share price increase. Thank you, Dan. And to feed Watson.
And then this was the other one that that was shared in the channel from Dion. Not Dion's words, but someone else's words. It says, this is also back to a Dan's point. IBM is much like a desperate housewife clinging to more glorious days gone by and trying to hold on to the past by getting plastic surgery to improve surface appearance, avoiding at all costs a seemingly declining future and losing its soul in the process. And Ginny, the CEO of IBM, is now the plastic surgeon that keeps performing the procedure to strip the company of its soul while trying in vain to improve its shallow appearance. In the end, soul matters and health is not just skin deep, and it seems that the signs now indicate that the market feels the same.
God, so, I was so genius in copy and pasting that,
into
the
great,
chat.
That was probably the best copy and paste I've ever seen.
Ever. But
we're trying to give like further voice to these
but
things.
But true. I mean, it makes... Yes. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
This is the opinion
desperate,
that's out there.
Clinging to the glory days of how awesome IBM was.
Yep. It's really sad when like a company does neuter itself, though.
Big Blue. Big Blue. We do everything and anything. Yeah. I mean, Watson. And then, okay, we're in. And we spend $1 billion and we get jack shit.
But I think the counter argument to the whole thing is, if they weren't what they are, they could never like bankroll things like Watson. They could never do all of this big, bold, breaking stuff.
Like, Microsoft could have never given us Clippy if it wasn't for Windows 3.1.
The cash cow that is whatever
Thanks
it is.
Thanks for cheapening that as much as you possibly could.
Whatever IBM makes their money off of, their cash cows of the world, whether it's their point-of-sale shit or cloud or Watson or whatever,
so
they're banking on that.
We started to turn towards the Olympics, and I think that's a good thing to do. Let's turn towards
Phelps
the Olympics.
Face?
We're going to talk Phelps' face. What about the? Did you guys read that apparently a kayaker hit a sofa and capsized?
I heard somebody say that at a bar, but
is that true?
Yeah, I didn't know if it was
true. Well, that's the thing. It's one of those things where a kayaker apparently capsized, and the story goes that they hit a submerged couch on the course. May or may not be true.
Nope, they're investigating it.
They are looking into it. Which leads us to the next conspiracy in the Olympics. How the hell did the diving pool go green?
So they finally came out today.
Yes.
And said what it was. It was algae.
Well,
isn't there chlorine in a diving pool?
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Sean. Yeah. Every pool expert that was ever asked about this in the last 24 hours,
Jim, the pool guy in New Lennox knows fucking chlorine.
But you know, TV news people are calling like the pool shop down the street, right? Going, how could it go green? What could they have possibly done?
I guess that's not the only pool that went green. There was another.
Put fucking chemicals in it. That's what we do.
You're supposed to do. I mean, it's sitting water. If you don't have chemicals in it,
right?
Algae and other things will develop.
Well, that's why they show pictures. There's a pool right next to it that's still clear.
Maybe they put double the pH into that. So
that one.
That one's like straight up acid.
Do you guys remember which pool?
Divers are just going in like, the pain! Like, and they need goggles. And
yeah, they're saying this is the first time they're, well, in a long time there's been outdoor diving venue, so they're saying there's no wind to move stuff around in the air, and it was a overpopulation of algae.
That's hilarious.
Well, do they not even have jets in the pool?
And
yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy to not have algae in your
pool. But overnight for it to turn clear
the one quote I loved was this, probably Jim's pool service or whatever, they were talking to this guy. He goes, there's got to be like one guy whose his whole job is keeping that pool right for this event. How did he fuck this up?
they're not even giving like
you had technical advice.
You had one job, yeah. Right?
I was kind of hoping to be like conspiracy that it was the Irish divers.
The Irish divers.
You know, overnight.
I mean, how many people in Chicago responded to...
Oh, yeah.
We deal with the Green River all year. I mean, can we just dye it blue the rest of the year? Like, it was a very
That was the Chicago
quote.
Take on it.
Yeah, but everybody in Chicago said the same
internet,
thing.
But the internet, I don't know if anybody read any of the internet's comments on it. They were like, well, it's just Brazil. Like, they're trying to, like, reproduce their flag in the water. That's right. What they're trying to do. They're turning it green. Thank God it wasn't yellow, I think, is the quote that was out there. I don't know. I think... we're seeing all of this stuff. Has anybody... So, I have not watched a lot of Olympics. I have seen about as much Olympics at lunch today as I've seen the entire time it's been going on since, what, Saturday were the opening ceremonies?
Yeah.
So, tell me, has any of the coverage addressed what we've been dealing with leading up to it?
No. They've mostly tried to be positive, show the positive... aspects of
which
the Olympics.
Which you'd expect. But
exactly.
I would hope they would have at least acknowledged some of the, you know, hurdles that Brazil had to overcome to get to this point. You know, in a positive way, acknowledge the kind of bullshit that's going on.
I feel like this happens a lot, though. Like, they said the same thing about Greece. You know, they're like, oh, they're never going to be ready up until the week. And then they're like, oh, this was perfect, you know. And they said, what was the Russian Winter Olympics where they said, like, Putin and his friends were, like, making everything
that?
Last minute. Yeah. And they're like, oh, I'm never ready. And then, I don't know, it always comes together well enough for...
Well enough. But then have you seen... we had somebody share those photos. Did you guys look at the, like, abandoned photos that were posted?
Oh, yeah, it happens. I mean,
The best part of this, so Atlanta was covered in there, and Greece was covered in there, and Sarajevo in a big way was covered. So there's all these pictures of these abandoned Olympic facilities. The best one was the China bit, where all of the mascot graveyard. Remember they had like a handful of... Did you guys look at that?
I did.
Oh, man, it was... All these mascots face down in a woods somewhere.
Yeah. Didn't do too much.
To the back, they went on a bender.
Two to the back of the head.
Go out and execute them. But, yeah, I was at an Olympic, like, arena, like, even a month after the events, and they're already starting to decay.
Ugh.
Paint's coming off and just
Where was
shit.
That?
China.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Beijing.
That's one of the reasons I really hate the Olympics. I think it's kind of gross, to be honest, like just such a waste of money and everything. I think they should be required to turn them into, like, the architectural plan should have to be like some type of housing or community center afterwards. I think that should be a requirement.
Well, and that was one of the pictures was Sarajevo's, like, Olympic housing, and it was a building that could have been used for that purpose, right? But it was probably in a location where nobody would want to be there.
I think that's what Chicago tried to do with their plan for the Olympics when they bid for the Olympics.
Well, don't try to put a positive spin on it.
No, I'm trying to help out daily.
I mean, Chicago is not even near as corrupt as it needed to be to compete with the Olympics, okay?
But they were saying that a lot of the building structures would be temporary, and they could take them down, and then a lot of the Olympic Village would be housing on the South Shore, and so they try to be positive. Which I guess doesn't work with Olympics.
Doesn't work.
I mean, we've talked about this before on the podcast where we've said what we should do is pick places. If you're not going to do some sort of investment in a city that can, you know, be sustained long after the Olympics are gone, then just invest in the cities in the countries where it will always be. So you pick cities in countries, and that's where it is every time it comes back to that country. So we talked about that idea, or... When you invest in a city, the dorms that you built in Russia or Brazil or wherever, Rio, those become apartments or complexes that can be used then by the citizens of the city to live in, and now you've invested in the future of the city. Not something like, you know, the L.A. Stadium that was used in the 84 Olympics that hasn't been touched and is covered in weeds and is decrepit and falling apart. So, like, these ghost towns of Olympics that of the past that don't even, you know, work anymore.
Yeah, I remember.
It's like, build something that can sustain and be used, or even you build a stadium. Guess what? We're going to take it apart because we built it modularly. We're going to build three stadiums out of the one stadium.
Or like, just do, or
something.
Just do, and I think you raised this the last time it came up, just do the look. This is the summer venue. It's always Athens. It's always Athens. And we're just going to keep it. We're going to maintain it. We're going to grow it. You know what? It's time to invest a little bit again. We need to update that facility or this facility, but it's always maintained, and it becomes a place where people, you know, between the 4 years between, they hold international events there. They hold, you know, and like the community can use it, and tourists can come, and it's just, it is a mecca in and of itself.
High schools,
right?
That'd be cool.
Grade schools, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. You want to play football in the stadium, you play it. You play soccer, you do your lacrosse championships, yeah. You do whatever. It's something that can be used long after the Olympics are gone.
And they could split the revenue somehow. They could find a way for international members.
I think it'd be very easy. And the only way you get an Olympics that's not in a city that's already designated the Olympic city is you already have the infrastructure to sustain the 300,000 to a million people that are going to influx your city, and you can be there. So you've got the stadiums, you got the facilities, you got the housing, you got the transportation, done. You can do it. Otherwise, it goes to the city designated for your country. That was just my idea, because it doesn't seem like they plan on anything but the, 4 weeks of the Olympics, and then after that, we're out of here. Fuck that shit. You got green pools, you got shit in your ocean, we don't give a fuck.
You got caches in your rivers,
yeah.
Whatever.
Sorry.
Okay. Solving problems on a worldwide IT basis.
Yeah.
Global basis, what? We are worldwide IT.
One world global problem at a time.
Okay, so Dan, I'm going to ask you a more personal question. If you had to compete in an Olympic event today.
Oh, geez.
Right now. Which event would you choose?
I feel like that's a little too personal.
No, I think it's great, because we had talked about the swimmers, where it would be amazing
I'm going
to
be staying away from water.
It'd be great to see Dan in his own little pool next
archery,
to Phelps.
Is archery one of the things?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Archery,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Our first? I'll do archery.
You'll go archery?
Really? Yeah.
That was going to be my pick.
I mean, I'm sure I couldn't hit it.
Hunger Games, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Fine. And you know, you're like, it's you and all these like world-class athletes, right? So you're going to lose. It's fine. How embarrassed can you be?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, in archery, no one's going to even know.
Nobody's even going to pay attention.
Right.
Exactly.
Archery, right.
John, what would you compete in today?
You're going to shoot a gun.
Exactly.
John's shooting a gun.
I'm shooting guns.
John's shooting a gun.
I'm doing that.
I know already.
Skeet shooting?
Yeah. I'm shooting something.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Give me a gun.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. I'm going to go to Dion next. Dion?
I'll play soccer.
Is that an Olympic sport?
World class.
I love this idea.
I'm all in.
I love this idea. Who's that guy that's basically like filling 10 square feet? That's about as far as he can run at a time.
Fuck that. I'll play defense. I'll tackle everybody that comes near me. I'll just tackle him. Get a yellow card. Red card.
That's rugby, Dion. Rugby.
You know, tackling in like soccer, football is different from like football,
but
American
football. I am aware.
You
Sean.
You can only do that twice, right?
Done. Yeah, yellow card, red card, I'm out.
You're the Bill Laimbeer of soccer. Fall out quickly, you know?
I'll take their number one player out in like 30 seconds. No problem. I've done a great service to
my
country.
I like this idea.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, what do you think?
If it's any sport, I'd do bobsledding, but if we're... you just get in the car and, you know...
You get
gravity,
in the car and ride?
Oh, yeah, for winter, yeah. I'd be doing curling.
I saw cool running. I know how it is. Yeah.
But if it's summer, I'd go badminton.
Mm. You basically...
Cool. I like that.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I like table that.
Wow.
Yet.
That, there's a lot to discuss there. But back to bobsledding.
Yeah.
You pretty much bobsledded off of an expressway.
Yeah, I can
bobsled
easily.
So,
I'm comfortable falling and not being in control of the vehicle. Which I'm guessing is the hardest thing to find in a bobsledder.
Oh, visit YouTube now for Sean Flannery's I've lost control of the vehicle.
Curling would be fun, too.
You can drink while you do curling.
Oh, yeah.
Never been to Paris.
Yeah. Sorry, Sean's... I'm comfortable falling and not being in control. Perfect.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
There's the T-shirt somewhere in that.
Yeah.
Gavin?
I would have to do equestrian or fencing.
Mm. You're going to fence, really?
Ross? Mm-hmm.
Have you watched fencing? You think it's going to be the best sport. You think it's going to be like old Robin Hood, like Earl Flynn, like saber battles, and it's over in half a second.
Yeah.
Every time. It's such a dumb sport.
Go.
Yeah. It's just like, zzz, and
touch, yeah. Strike,
yeah.
Over.
Yeah.
Trust me on this one, it sucks.
Did you play fencing?
Oh, yeah. He fenced.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like such a boring sport.
I'm in for equestrian then.
Yeah. I was on the Serbian national fencing team for 6 years running.
Hey-o.
And professionally, I traveled halfway around the Europe with it, and I couldn't watch other people fence.
I couldn't stand to even see my own replays of me
could
fencing.
You drink?
It's just we gotta boring. Remove that one, then.
Could you drink?
What?
Could you drink?
Well, you could. I mean, nobody was going to stop you, but, I mean, you weren't going to be any good while drinking.
Well, I mean,
but you can't
not
drink
before
when
a match.
When you shoot arrows or when you shoot a gun, you can't drink because it calms your nerves like a performance-enhancing drug. So.
That's why John would be shooting, because he would have a couple of drinks.
Absolutely.
Right.
That week-long buzz, they wouldn't be able to even figure that out.
So what is the sword? Is it like a... Because like, I would just know it like dumbly as like a rapier. Is that like the type of sword that it is, or does it have a better name for it?
Rapier?
Yeah. Well, you
I'm sure that's a French pronunciation.
Three disciplines.
You can say this all in Serbia, by the way. Go ahead.
Serbian?
No. You have three disciplines. One is foil,
but
one
nobody's
is
saber, paying attention.
And one is actually épée or the actual rapier type thing. Yeah. So the épée gets... you get a point on a switch on the tip of the sword that activates on a force of 750 grams.
Mm-hmm.
Foil, same thing, less force, but only the torso counts. And saber, you have like a metal vest that has electricity running through it, so there's a current running through the saber.
Right.
So you can cut and stab
right.
with the saber. So those are two... three different disciplines in fencing that are completely separate.
Cool. Have you ever cut or stabbed anyone?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay.
You cut off anyone's head.
What would happen if you were hit by that sword in real life? Because it looks so bendable that it like couldn't really kill you.
So here's the thing. I mean, a couple of times thrusting. We had a few situations where the sword breaks. The tip of the sword actually has a dull tip.
Mm-hmm.
So the worst thing that can happen is like a really nasty bruise.
Yeah.
And those are pretty common.
That's not fun.
You have a suit that protects you. You have a
No, what I'm saying is if we went back to the days of the pirate and you had that sword.
I want to do this in real life.
You're a pirate.
It almost feels like if you hit me with that sword and I'm just wearing a t-shirt, like it would hurt, but it doesn't seem like it would kill me.
The rapier, the thin one, though, is like it's a puncturing.
Is it a lethal sword? Could you kill a man with the sword?
The fencing one is not. That's the point. You want to kill your athlete.
But the real one,
the one that it's based off of, the real one that the Robin,
because it has a very sharp point and it goes through you and kills you.
So. Ross, can you bring that in? Can you bring that into the office next week?
I want the whole vest.
I
want to
see this
electric.
Howard, you want to electrocute Dion, so bring that in, would you?
I'll just bring an extension cord. We can do it without the fencing.
No problem.
I can electrocute you right now, Dion.
I mean, I tried to get my iPhone charger from your desk one time, and it was nearly electrocuted. Yeah. So, that's fine.
Open wires.
No, I think this is where the Olympics should go, is right back to the, like,
blood
the proper blood sport.
Gladiator.
I'm totally down with that.
You want a fence? Go for it, man.
Yeah, like trampoline? Come on. Are you kidding me?
That was Dan's suggestion last week too, that they in keeping with the original, everybody be naked.
Naked.
Right.
No women.
Yeah.
Loincloth. Yes. Awesome.
Well, that I don't know.
Yeah, that.
Speaking of Tim Tebow.
Sorry. We need what?
Speaking of Tim Tebow,
somebody said naked, and you went to Tebow.
Speaking
what is
naked
that?
Baseball?
Yeah. Dion, really? I had no idea.
I'm segueing so great today.
Go for it.
No, I'm not even.
You don't want to talk about Tebow.
Nah, he wants to play baseball, whatever.
Good call. And all,
good
you know,
talk.
Being a
Thanks
very Christian person, the most senior person on ESPN
Is
baseball goes, he doesn't have a chance in hell to make the major leagues.
Gary Sheffield claims he's a natural. Sheffield watched him, but, I mean, it's tough to go into any sport, you know, at that age when you haven't been doing it at the same level as everyone else for 10 years.
Is he like 28 or something now?
I mean, he's got to be at least 25,
and
right?
And he hasn't played since junior year in high school.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just such a layoff, you
but
know.
But Michael Jordan did it, so he can do it.
Yeah, and he became
we saw how all that worked
an
out.
Awesome major leaguer, yeah. Right? No.
Have you ever seen...
there you go.
If you haven't seen it, it's a great video to look up. Old. Have you ever seen Ozzie Guillen talking about when Michael Jordan...
No.
...rode the bus? So, like, you know, Guillen was... I think he was playing for the White Sox back then.
Yes.
And...
shortstop.
Yeah, shortstop. And it's a great... You can ESPN has it. They animate it as he talks about it, but it's really funny. But he talks about... You know, Jordan was on the bus, and, like, I guess Ozzie Guillen and Joey, who's that other?
Joey Cora.
Joey Cora, yeah. Would play basketball a lot. They're both, like, 5 foot. Like, they're very tiny men. But they, like, he said, we both had pretty decent outside shots. He's like, I was a little better than Joey Cora, but we were both pretty good. And one day, we challenged Michael Jordan, us versus you, and he's like, what to? And they're like, we're not going to bet him money. We know how rich he is, you know. So we're going to do, I think it was like 12 points. And they Joey Cora and
Ozzie Guillen
score the first 10. And they're like talking all this trash. And he goes, then we check the ball. And he goes, we never saw the ball again. He manhandled us. He would jump over me. And he's like, his groin would just be in my face for a half a second, but he moves so fast, you just... It was like, and he explains it so hilariously. And we're like, well, why, you know, why'd you let us...
Get 10 points.
You know, get 10 points. He's like, you know, I was going to let you win. And then I was thinking...
I'll do it.
If you guys won, I'd never hear the end of it.
Yeah.
Then I just decided, no.
I would have thought, fuck you. So that's really what happened.
Yeah. And he's like, and he scored 12 points against us, like, so fast, you know.
That's great.
But there was nothing monetary to that? There was
nothing
no...
monetary, yeah. Yeah, which is surprising, given Jordan's history and Ozzie Guillen's, too.
Nobody tried. Yeah. I went to a baseball game last night. I saw a Cubs game for the first time in, well, like 2 years.
You went to a sporting event? Really?
I did a sportsing. It was pretty good sportsing. They won. I was actually, I had really good seats. I got tickets from a friend, and I was sitting 5 seats down from some old dude who was, like, kind of balding, starting to gray a little bit, and they kept putting a camera near his face, like, getting ready. I was like, who the hell is that? And they turned the camera on, and apparently it was Ryan Dempster. So he was sitting there.
Oh, yeah, Dempster was there last night.
And then Zambrano was, like, a row
Dempster
right behind him.
Dempster looks old?
Like, older than I remembered him. He's not, he doesn't look that old, but...
Dempster was there, Zambrano was there, a lot of players were there.
Zambrano?
Yeah, Zambrano, who I love, because, like, I didn't follow baseball much, but, like, I have definitely seen him explode on a Gatorade thing. Like,
Zambrano was interesting. Awesome. He had a very bad temper. Right. He also, he refused to drink water. Do you remember that story? He refused to drink water. He said water doesn't taste good in a post-game, so he would always cramp up. Because he was dehydrated.
And
he also wouldn't
shape.
Drink Gatorade. He would only drink, like, colas, like, dehydrants and stuff. And who was the manager back then? I think it was Dusty Baker, who's, like, a player's manager. He's like, what are you going to do? Man's an adult. You know, don't want to drink water. You know? Like, well, he's your ace pitcher. Right.
You might, want to take care of him a little.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, Kyle Zambrano was great.
So you had a good time.
Yeah, it was a great game. Yeah, spent, like, $26 on 3 hot dogs, but it was good, so... Yeah, fun times.
Well, 3 hot dogs. What
yeah,
was
like
it?
4, whatever. Yeah.
What were you thinking, man?
But they have veggie dogs there. They're not bad.
Do they really?
They do.
Nice. I totally
it's
missed that.
It's a good thing we're not in Italy.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Well, we can talk about that. Right. Other than bringing it up. Supposedly a law was proposed in Italy where parents can be prosecuted if they put their vegan diet on a child.
So this is, like, totally
crazy. It's just
crazy.
A proposal. It's one of those things that gets a lot of press because it's proposed, but it is not
and they have like a
finalized law.
Like a notably insane government and, like, 8 political parties that, like, you know, their parliament is totally nuts. But, like, they also do have, like, some laws with, like, really, really intense, like, support for children. Like, some kid, he's, like, 28 or whatever, and he won a lawsuit against his parents, like, and his dad had to take care of him and, like, pay for his food or something like that. And You know what? I'm not doing a good job of explaining the story, so I'm just going to stop. Anyway, so like, my point was
they're all over the place. They made a father take care of his child.
I'll look it up, and you guys continue with this story about vegetarian.
The Catholic Church has a ton of power there too, which creates weird dynamics.
I've had this discussion with my wife and friends because we have a friend who she breastfed her kids until they're like 6 or 7, and she's a vegan, and she raised their kids vegan. So, but you know, growing up as a kid, no offense to anyone in this room, it's like, will those kids get isolated in schools? I mean, when it's hot dog day or hamburger day, you know, they have to bring their special lunches. But I know, you know, some kids have certain allergies, so they have to have a special diet. But I think as a kid, it'd be tough knowing my son what 3 foods he eats. But maybe.
So, you think that the vegan kids will need to be protected from, like...
I just think that... Everybody
needs to be protected in the modern... the modern school, like, is Connor in kindergarten yet?
He's in second grade.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I sent my kid to school with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich while Jess was out of town, and they acted like I sent him there with a loaded shotgun. I mean, the overreact. I got like 4 phone calls from the school. They're like, what the hell is this?
Exactly.
That's amazing. I didn't think anybody was allergic to actual peanut butter and jelly, because it's so saturated with sugar and all that other shit that I didn't think anybody had airborne PB&J.
It is well contained. Yeah,
exactly.
I didn't think anybody had airborne PB&J. They're like, well, don't you know this is a peanut-free zone? I'm like, well, I understand that, but it's not like I set them there like, you know, like this is Wrigley Field. Just like peanuts, steamed peanuts.
Blowing peanut dust in people's
faces. But no, it is insane. Like, we get so many dietary rules when we go in, and it's like, it's really crazy, I feel.
Well, the funny thing is that, like, they're finding that exposure actually sometimes mitigates these early aversions.
There's been a ton of studies on that.
So, like, we're actually probably reinforcing
Yes, we are. And we're all saying this while Dion's out of the room.
Exactly. Let's get it in quickly.
Hey, Dion, your parents didn't love you. They kept you. I feel like
Dion's allergy is, like, the way it was back in the day, where there was just, like, one kid who maybe had it, you know.
Dion was that kid.
Yeah, but now it's like everybody has it.
Sounds a lot.
I think at our school, they actually have like a separate, like, peanut-free table.
Yeah. I thought it was
a joke.
Oh no,
they do it ours too.
Yeah, kids all sit at.
Because everybody had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah, like,
and everybody. That's the way my kids grew up, and they all, you know, there was the. So I could send my kids with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or anything. Yeah. Like,
I'm not allowed to send
nuts,
PB&J.
Pistachios, anything. But there was the table over in the corner. That was the peanut-free zone.
Yeah.
And
the
what they did was they would... But what they did was they would rotate everybody through.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So effectively...
So they were all included.
Effectively, you were told, you know what, you're going to sit at the table today, so don't bring X, Y, and Z. Yeah.
This is your friend for the day.
I can't stop rolling my eyes right now. I'm sorry. I really can't.
Well, so you, Gavin, you would never in a million years be in this situation. But let's just put you there.
Yeah.
You have a child who is, whatever, 7 years old, going to school, and they have a horrible allergy, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to still roll your eyes at all this?
I'm going to put them in a bubble the way God intended. Never leaving the house. Yeah, I would. I would. I'd honestly be like, look, you have this thing, and you're
not normal.
You're slightly...
You actually probably cannot, like, we should kill you right now, but I can't do that. I'm not allowed.
Technically, I mean, genetics are telling us that you probably shouldn't be here. I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, Gavin wants his kid in the uterus until he's 18.
This is why Gavin does not have children.
Yeah, no, but I mean, look, I'd be like, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just like, this is a little different thing that you do. Everyone has something different about them.
There's nothing wrong with you. You're just weird.
But, but here, everyone has different things.
Watch this movie of John Travolta, Boy in the Bubble, and
you'll understand why.
Good luck being the Scientologist.
This is one of your different special things. So you eat this special sandwich, and don't let anyone tell you that yada yada yada. You're a special snowflake. Yada yada yada. You know.
Well, there are people with legitimate allergies, like Dion. Obviously, is allergic. But then there's a lot of people. I come from a very hippy dippy area. Oak Park is where I live is extremely liberal. But what else is interesting about it is it's highly racially integrated. Like half my neighbors and a lot of my friends are black, and they make fun of white people all the time. For like, they're like, what the fuck is this gluten shit you guys are all worried about? Like, it's like black people don't, you know, or peanut allergies. Like, black kids don't have peanut allergies, they always claim. And I do think that if we see anything... If you listen to a kid enough, they'll always complain about something. Mm. And I think there are some parents that'll be like, well, you know what? I'm just going to take weed out of his diet or something like that. And they sort of overreact.
Weed? Yeah, weed. Yeah,
yeah, weed. No, weed. I meant to say weed.
No, yeah.
He did say
punk.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You can vaporize, but no more.
And then
edibles.
I think that has, like, kind of like what we were talking, like, almost like it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy where then his stomach is never used to that. And then, like what is tantamount to a real allergy develops because he's never digested peanuts in his life, you know, or gluten in his life.
So my sister is in the city we live in, there's a lot of people that are gluten, whatever. They think they're gluten allergic, but my sister's one of them.
Yeah.
And she thinks that if people cut it out of their diet, it will cure cancer. I mean, she just thinks, she tells me all the time, John, you know, you have a lot of gas. You should just stop eating gluten. I'm like, I'm a guy. I can drink water and have gas. So
it's probably the five beers I've just drank.
Exactly.
Well, the beers have gluten too, though. Exactly. Don't you know?
You should drink gluten-free beer.
Yeah. I've heard gluten referred to by some people as a friend of ours that's very out there on all those, the white devil. Have you ever heard that?
The white devil.
It's the white carbohydrates, you know, that white bread is the white devil that basically caused all these, like your sister, caused all the cancer, ADHD, all of this comes from gluten.
Yep. Thanks, Wonder Bread.
Yeah. That's right.
But it'll be something new.
But you know what's it, and not to talk too much about this, but there's an awesome New Yorker article from about, like, 5 years ago about the gluten-free craze. And one thing that's interesting, this is the doctor's like, first of all, like, there's actual, what is it called, celiac disorder?
Celiac.
Like, very few people have that. There's very, very few people that actually are allergic to gluten.
Yeah,
like,
but it is a real thing.
But it is a real
population.
Thing. It's getting common. Well, no, what they said that is interesting is a lot of scientists are saying that what has happened is the way, like, our modern American, like, sort of big food industry makes bread is it's basically gluten on steroids. Like, we used enriched flour. And there is, they say, like, logarithmically higher percentage of gluten in the bread we eat off mass produced than there was, like, 50 years ago.
Yep.
And they said, we don't know what that means. There might be some people that aren't allergic, but maybe it, like, doesn't sit well in their stomach, you know? And, like, we don't really know what the effects of that is. But, like, basically, like, gluten, I guess, is really just... You can make bread without gluten if you want to, but it's so much easier with gluten.
Tastes horrible.
Yeah, and it tastes better. So, basically, bread is easier to make and tastes better and stays longer. Like, everything is improved with gluten, so that's why we use it. But then... I don't know. Maybe there are some people there that it doesn't sit well in. You know.
Right. Well, but that's the processed food story, right?
Yeah.
We have manufactured food to the degree where we're trying to get the most out of our dollar, and that's what we're producing. And people buy that because it tastes better, because of this, because of that. And, you know, is that right or is that wrong? You know.
Yeah.
The natural diet is a hard thing to, you know, people who, I did it for a while, the caveman diet, where it's just eat natural foods all the time.
Yeah.
How do you do that in today's world?
It's really hard. It's expensive.
And it's nearly impossible.
Yeah.
Nearly impossible.
Yeah.
You talk about, you know, the way that they treat animals to produce food.
Yeah.
Now you got to, like, find a farmer who's literally just natural farming. You got to find that guy and go, okay, I'm going to buy my meat from you.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy my milk from you. I'm going to buy my corn from you. I'm going to buy everything from you because that's the only
way. Which is why usually if you see people doing these diets, they're well off because it means you have enough money to pay for all this.
Yeah.
And
ridiculous.
You have enough time that you can do the research.
To
you know, it's like you're wealthy in almost all aspects of your life. to be able to do that.
And you also have to simulate tracking an animal down for 14 hours a day and 3 hours of gathering wood and building a fire to do the real caveman diet.
The caloric intake,
But 12 ounces of meat.
But I did that. I mean, during that period of my time.
Was a weird week, by the way.
Opening up a ticket with IBM burns 800 calories. By all the holes you punch in the wall and so on. You know,
I'm sorry, Mr. Dairy Farmer, but that cow was right in the open, and I had every right to stalk and kill him.
I shot him. I'm sorry.
A free ranger.
Okay, I found this. I'm going to say it really quickly. I found this weird Italian thing I was talking about just because I was so disjointed before.
The law where you have to take care of your kid?
All right. An Italian court has ordered a middle-aged father to keep supporting his 28-year-old son through university after he turned to the law to try to force his offspring to get a job. So this case underlines the country's problem with Bamboccioni. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Spoiled big babies who refused to leave home in Italy.
Bambino, and right?
Basically, it sounds like that.
Yeah.
The father had gone to court to argue he can no longer support his son after basically his son took a long time to get his literature degree, and then now he's like, I don't know what to do. I don't want to get a job, so I'm going to go back to grad school. And he's basically saying, look, he's 28. He's going to grad school. I don't want to have to pay for grad school. I don't want to have to pay for his food. He should get a part-time job and support himself.
Get the hell out of my house.
And the Italian judge said, no, he has to pay whatever amount, like, because of what he's become accustomed to. He has to take care of his son.
Oh, my God.
Thank God I can say this now. I love
it. Hilarious.
Why? Because my son moved out.
Yeah. Oh, I'm very surprised. So I was just, like, thinking this case that was in the back of my head while hearing that they also can't the vegan thing anyway.
That's insane.
Totally insane.
I'm going to sue you, Dad. Wow. I love that you're so useless as a fucking 28-year-old that you sue your dad rather than actually go out and create a life. I mean, I realize I probably sound like an American. Well, maybe that's why we have the best economy in the world. You know, because, like, I would just be embarrassed, you know.
Oh, that's great.
But he has to eat meat. He can't be a vegan. He has to sit and eat all the Italian
sausage. He's a high-maintenance kid.
Yeah.
He's accustomed to a certain life.
And his tree nuts that he... Just eat them.
But what's your whole life going to be like if you can't be a vegan in Italy, right?
If you've ever seen it on any pasta platter...
What's your dinner?
You're not going to be a vegan.
Yeah. Everything's got cheese on it, at least.
All right, Judge. I'll pay for his grad school, but he's eating fucking Italian sausage every night. Fuck that vegan shit.
So you brought up the economy, and our Republican candidate has come out recently about his economic policies, right? Right?
Yes.
You saw this. So
the titties are going to be great.
The titties are going to be great.
What? Titties like this are going to be.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, he mispronounced it. In it. When he announced his plan, he kept pronouncing cities titties.
Wow.
Yes.
Do we have a video somewhere?
Yeah. You just Google Donald Trump titties, and he keeps calling.
Don't
he goes,
Google that.
Titties like Detroit. Just like this. Titties all across America.
Let me make sure I'm on the company network here. Yeah. Hold on.
Trump.
Titties like right here in Detroit. Right. He meant cities.
Yeah, as though you couldn't dismiss his plan already.
He completely said titties.
You know, yeah.
And everybody thinks he did it on purpose because his plan's full of shit, so we're focusing on the titties and not the actual
plan. He's not
plan.
That smart. There's no way.
He's not that smart.
I think that's, if we've learned anything, it's that he's not
we talked about it earlier. I think he's so reckless, and his recklessness has always helped him. Because it generates press, that he just doesn't bother preparing anything. Like, well, the Hillary Clinton assassination remark perfect example
insane.
Of that. And that's what he would be like as a head of state, you know? He would say stuff that could launch a war.
Yeah, well, at lunch today, we were watching the Olympics. One screen apparently was on, and apparently the Secret Service is having conversations with their camp going... Stop this. You are a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
You cannot do this to her or yourself or me as a Secret Service. You're putting me and my compatriots here in danger by doing this bullshit. Now, that's me putting words in their
mouth. There was a really
good
open essay in the New York Times today by, I forget that author's name. He's the guy who did The World is Flat.
Thomas Friedman.
Yes, thank you. And he talked about how, to him, it reminded him of... I'm now blanking on the other name, but that Jewish prime minister that tried to do the
Netanyahu?
Oz. Yeah, no, no. Yahoo was one of his opponents.
Sorry.
Yahoo.
Sharon? Yahoo?
No. So he tried in the 80s that Palestinian and Israeli peace was almost negotiated.
Oh,
and it
wow.
was negotiated with Egypt, and it was all off this prime Yaksak. It starts with a Y. Anyways, all his opponents, like Netanyahu, were all saying things like this. They were saying things like, oh, he's they kept talking about illegitimacy. They compared him to Hitler. They'd be like, shame if something happened to him. And they never said anything quite like this. But what he was saying is, you're appealing to a spectrum of voters, and there's going to be, on the crazy end of the spectrum,
yeah,
they're going to, this is an enabling technique
yeah.
for them.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they're right. I think that when your language is that incendiary, the people on the crazy end hear it as a call to arms.
Yeah. 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 It is criminal in that it is working towards inciting,
mm-hmm.
you know, riots.
yeah.
At the least.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be ridiculously worse.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
There was a funny tweet I saw yesterday. It says, hours after Trump says something dumb during a nuclear standoff, his last living staffer will send a clarification to the last living reporter. Because, like, they always have these. He says something ridiculous, does something awful. Actually, what we really meant was, like, after all the seasons
were
smoldering.
Yeah. yeah. That's
not
the world
what he
ends.
Meant. Yeah, brilliant. Well, I thought it was interesting. So, you know Foursquare? What's their app now? It's no longer called
Swarm.
Swarm. It's called Swarm.
Yes.
So Foursquare, the company, is still out there, and they published a report about the impact of Donald Trump's campaign in the presidential election on his businesses. And this is based on, obviously, Foursquare data, so mm-hmm. whether that's worth anything or not is another topic. But pretty much they're saying that foot traffic, Trump businesses have taken a hit from this. But it's interesting as you look at there are these graphs in the article. And, you know, number one is just the general foot traffic at Trump properties. And yes, it's down, but it's tracking with mm-hmm. last year.
Mm-hmm.
Then you look at in blue states. So these are the more liberal states,
yeah.
left leaning states. It is down, but it's similar to the other chart. It's, you know, down, but not
yeah.
ridiculous. Then you look at by gender, and it's hilarious. Because the male and female split, it's like, holy crap. Women are done with him. You hit a point of time, February of 2016, women go, fuck this guy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
they just drop off the planet. They are out of his businesses.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just fascinating to see, you know, what he's up against. His businesses are taking a hit from this.
Uh-huh.
Which lends some credibility to some of the speculation that we've been hearing about and we've talked about ourselves. Is he looking at, how do I get the fuck out of this thing?
Yeah.
When do I leave this race? I'm done. My businesses are hurting. Get me out, right? Does he have an exit strategy? And is that what we're seeing here? How far
yeah.
can I push the envelope to the point where they just literally say, go away?
Yeah.
I literally, every day, every morning on the train, I check out the news. I look for, first of all, how many people were shot in our city and killed overnight. And what stupid thing did he do last
yeah.
night or yesterday that will make me laugh?
Yeah.
It's really that
comical. It's part of your process. You know?
It really is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And did he shoot any of those people?
Yeah.
Is he responsible for any of those killings? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think he is.
I don't think he'll ever drop out, though, because I also think... I don't actually think he cares if these businesses themselves succeed or not. I mean, he's failed at a lot of business.
That's a good point.
He's so into self, like aggrandization and everything.
Yeah.
That if he's getting the attention and he knows, well, now I'm even more of my own brand and I can talk, I can do speaking fees for the rest of my life at mm-hmm. concert wherever I want. I'll bet you he's even if his business team is like, well, the Trump Plaza, will have to go Chapter 11. Because people in Chicago and New York don't want to live under your name anymore. I don't think that would bother him. I really don't. I think he's such a narcissist that he would be comfortable with the... Because I'm sure he's filed all these businesses in a way that protect him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and he probably gets more income from doing well in speaking than he does from his businesses just staying the course. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he's probably like, well, fuck that. You know, I don't even care. You know, sell it.
Yeah, he's
got four, bankruptcy.
Got 4 years of doing speaking engagements, even if he loses mm-hmm. or has to back out of a presidential
campaign. And that's the kind of attention he wants. You know, he's like, I have four years of going in front of a crowd, being called a genius, you know, or I can quit right now and I can just keep cashing that check from my renters.
I will say Hillary Clinton doing it is a completely different sellout, and she's a corporate shill, but I'm preparing to do that for the next 4 years. That's the way I'm going to earn my money for the next 4 years. Because he said, oh, where's Hillary's money come from when she talks to all these people?
As we speak...
But you know what? She's made so much money, I think I'll do that too.
Yeah.
As we speak, someone in New York is scaling the Trump Tower.
Yep. Whoa.
And the police are waiting.
Yep.
I hope when they arrest that person, it's Jeb Bush.
That would be great.
He's just so
please
angry
clap.
At the guy.
Oh, that would be great.
Please clap. Please clap.
That was the best.
I'm going to scale this building. I'm going to take a dump on top of it.
Please clap.
He's going to take a dump from like the 95th floor.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
Well, he's...
Please clap.
Anyway, yeah.
That's hilarious.
I hope George is down there to talk him down with a bullhorn.
Jeb! Yeah.
It's not worth it. Fuck you, George.
I was in office for 8 years. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we have probably enough time. We should start thinking about winding down. But there was one story that was fun. Oh, you want to go to the international correspondence? Is that what you're looking
at? I think they have a point of view they want to share.
Oh.
No.
No, no, we don't. No,
for fuck's sake, no.
No tengo nada que agregar, gracias.
There you go.
All right, if they're backing out. That's
they're
fine.
All good.
All right.
I was gonna mention there's this this dude who apparently, and I saw this article, and I think you shared it, Dion. There's this dude. I think he's in New Jersey. Who had two obituaries in the paper. Did you guys see
this? I didn't get to read this article, but I saw the most hilarious headline.
Yeah.
One was written by his wife, and another was written by a girlfriend.
Yes. Girlfriend. Dueling obituaries.
I would love to hear the details. I saw the headline. I'm like, oh, that's got to be good, but I didn't have time to read it. Yeah.
And they knew about the whole relationship,
they both knew they existed. Okay.
And the reason there were two obituaries is not because they, like, were... I wish it would have been, well... Yeah. I published one, and I published one, and boom, all of a sudden they learned about each other through the publishing of these obituaries. No, they couldn't agree on what the fucking thing should say.
Okay.
And so they published two. It's hilarious. I love
that's
that.
That's hilarious.
Story. Have I got that right?
It's exactly right. Yes. And, I mean, you read it, and you're like, this isn't real. Leroy Black... had a girlfriend and a wife, each posted the dueling obituaries, if you will, about how they wanted him to be remembered. And the newspaper's like, all right, yep, all right, I'll take that, yep. All right,
oh, yeah, we'll post them
somebody
one
else
on top
calls
of the
up
other.
And they, so we're going to do that alphabetically? Yeah, okay, so Black, and then, wait a minute. Bill Leroy Black followed by Blast Leroy Black. All right, great, good story, guys, thanks.
Oh, okay, so that's his nickname,
it's
I see.
It's for real, yeah.
We should know it too.
Yeah. In Cleveland, we had a story that made the news that is great. A guy wrote his own obituary. He knew he was dying. And he said, and for my pallbearers, I want the Cleveland Browns to send 6 players so that they can let me down one last time. And I will say this, for the Cleveland Browns' credit, they sent... 6 representatives to the funeral. They weren't the great. Actual pallbearers, but the Cleveland Browns were like, you know, let's do it. Yeah.
It's good for press.
Yeah, it's good for press.
But wasn't your joke about the Cavs losing on Father's Day? Wasn't that like
it wasn't even a joke. That was my prediction.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, this is the most Cleveland thing a team could do, was take the greatest team in NBA history, to game seven.
And then lose.
Just so we can lose on Father's Day. Like, you know, guys, we can lose game four, game five, Wednesday, Tuesday,
but
no big
won.
Deal. But that
and
wouldn't crush our city.
The course of the city forever.
And now we might win a World Series. We're in first place. You know.
I'm sorry. What?
He's getting a little cocky over there.
You're in Chicago. You know.
I could end up having a no lose scenario where
beat
it could be the
Cubs. Right?
It could be the Cubs versus Cleveland, where I basically can't lose.
But I think you said that you didn't want to be anywhere near this city if the Cubs won because we would burn this fucking.
No,
place
that's
to the
not
ground.
True. I want to be part of that fire.
Oh, okay.
Torch is ready. Torch is ready.
Description right, conclusion wrong. I want to be part of the fire.
I right. want to burn fair. This place down.
Yeah. Yep. Fair play.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think there's a vendor scum somewhere in the
I
world
don't
here.
I have it. Who had it? This
Dan
week?
Had a
Dan
vendor scum.
Submitted
no,
one.
No, I don't have the text in front of me, but it was basically it was.
John, read the vendor scum.
I don't have it.
It was basically, hi. Domains at yourcompany.com. We are a premier marketer of plumbing accessories.
Dear purchasing manager, we are a flange and pipe fitting manufacturer and supplier in China. We want to work together with your company. Our main products, flange fitting pipe material, based on carbon steel, stainless steel, malleable iron, and alloy steel. Our standards are blah, blah, blah. Our certificates are ISO, blah, blah, blah. If you need product price list, please reply to me and I will send you at once. So it's not so much vendor scum, but it's hilarious that a pipe fitting manufacturer.
In China.
In China. Has contacted the worldwide IT guys.
We're big in China.
We're but huge in China.
He contacted Dan. Dan How had, like, some plumbing work done.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah, like, but it yeah. had yeah. nothing to do no, with...
That's how good.
You,
that's how well, good they are.
I'm surprised we haven't got any Olympic-themed vendor scum yet.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
It's
we talked
coming
about
this
that.
Week.
It's never happened.
Run for the gold.
So all of you out there who are interested, please visit fittingflange.com. Fittingflange.com is our sponsor today. Wait a minute. We had a beer sponsor, didn't we? What was the beer sponsor? Steph, you're failing us.
Fightful?
We have...
I'm failing. We've had them before.
Based on our IBM discussion, we're all working towards the weekend.
Spiteful Brewing. Working for the weekend, double IPA.
Yep.
That's the
it was good.
No, not please. Shh. That's all we're drinking today is the Spiteful Brewing Working for the Weekend double IPA. Was that it? Did we get that?
Think so.
Did we get that?
All right. If we're plugging things we don't have any stake in, I want to plug Mr. Robot, the best TV show ever created in the history of mankind.
Here.
It is really phenomenal. I just caught up. I had not watched any of it, so I watched the full season like 2 weeks ago. Full season one. Really, it was worth it. I was a little skeptical because it was USA Network, but music is excellent. It's shot beautifully. Really, really interesting subject matter. Think like Anonymous meets what? Like Occupy Wall Street with like hacking, basically, yeah. Type of thing. And it's just really well done with like some schizophrenia and psychosis baked into it. So
it's right up your alley.
Yeah, right up my alley. it's phenomenal. So season two is going on right now. It's going to air tonight, whenever people are hearing it. It airs Wednesday nights, whenever people are hearing this. So
cool.
Check it out.
Very cool.
Dan approves.
Only two of you.
And we're done.
Steve's getting rolled out here.
Dion's playing the theme song of the week.
DJ
so.
Dion.
DJ
Is that Dion. The theme song for Mr. Robot?
Yep. No.
No. He plays that when he's hacking into corporations. So Bachman Turner Overdrive. You know,
that was
70s.
Hilarious.
I will say one more thing about Mr. Robot because Sean talked about it. The hacking is really, really well done. Like, they actually show someone opening a terminal and, like, they talk about Linux, and it's like real hacking, quote-unquote.
IP addresses are shown,
do they like show routing tables?
They will say, yeah.
Yeah,
the job as anything in media has ever done.
I saw the first two episodes, and what they did this smart, which I've heard from other chemists that Breaking Bad did that smart, is they don't go into the they sort of stay abstract, which is probably how we talk from most of the time, but... There's some, like, minor... In the first two episodes, there were some minor ones I saw. I'm like, okay, that's a little off. But it was nothing egregious.
Of Mr. Robot?
Mr. Robot. Okay. Normally, like, if like you watch the like a show, Kiefer Sutherland's 24, it's like 10 egregious IT mistakes in a row. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know,
like two people typing on the same keyboard.
Yeah, impossible to... But the only thing I saw that was, and it's not, like, too egregious, is, like, one, there was, like, a penetration, and he figured out where, and, like, well, where's your, how do you know? He's like, well, here's the logs, and he gave him an actual manila folder with a printout of the logs, which is not what you would do. And if somebody said that in a meeting, I'd be like, what? If you gave me a printout of log statements.
Could you email that to me?
Yeah.
That'd be great, though.
We'll do that next time, Oracle, or any other company.
I said that to my wife. She did not really get the joke. But I'm like, oh, we used to work at a company that would do this to us when they didn't want us to work.
It's kind of what lawyers do when they do, like, a document dump, and they'll just take in, like, 30, 40 boxes just to bury someone in paperwork, like what government organizations do. That would be really funny to do to IBM.
We used to work with Oracle, and they did the opposite. So, like, a lawyer is like, I want to know something about you. Like, well, you want to know something about me? Well, fuck you. I'm going to send you everything. We would open up a ticket with Oracle, and we would say, like, oh, hey, could you help us? And they would go, well, we want to know everything about you. And they would ask us for multiple megs of of log statements. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was stupid as well.
And there's no way you would look at these logs. There's no way that it could help. You know.
So we learned that if you open a ticket, you include logs and everything in the first
you would
initial ticket.
It would be great.
And you would just blow their minds.
You could hear them going, fuck. They got the logs. Or fucked.
We got nothing to sell on.
Yeah. It never occurred to them to do the IBM route and just not assign it to anyone.
It's like, are you sure you want this problem solved?
Are you really sure?
I will say that for Oracle. They had a little bit more pride.
Wow. Yeah. Never thought I'd hear that out of your mouth, Sean.
I miss Oracle.
Oh, man. That is a great note to go out of.
We had some good times, didn't we? Why'd we break up?
That's sad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much. We are the Worldwide IT Guys. Thanks for listening. Check us out, WWIT Guys on Twitter and Worldwide IT Guys on Twitter and WWITGuys.com for our website. And we're also on Instagram. So check us. We are there. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
I didn't share Herb's rant.
Oh, that would have been funny.
What did he say?
Oh, that's right.
You guys want to hear an example?
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Bring the mic back to you.
You want to hear it?
I don't know if we'll use it.
Well, that's right. It's funny, whatever. But so we had.